Blog Talk Radio.
We believe and we speak, he can do anything.
comfort me. It's a little rough at times, don't know what to do. But Lord, I know you will help me make it through.
Transparency in Christ, where we talk about marriage and how to do things according to the Word of God. My name is Felicia Miller, and I'm so excited to be joining you this week as we have a non-traditional conversation about marriage. And I really believe that your marriage can be transformed through the Word of God. I'm so excited to be back on air broadcasting again to bring God glory and hopefully just to encourage those that are out there that are married that you can make it. And if you keep Christ as the center of your marriage, all things are possible. Well, I'm excited this week about our special guest. Our topic for this week, if you notice, via Block Talk Radio, is Lessons from a Widow, Five Things Every Wife Should Know. Maybe there's things going on in your marriage right now. Maybe seem hopeless. Things seem bleak round about now. You're ready to give up. Maybe round about now you're feeling taken for granted. What happens if you wake up tomorrow morning and your husband or your wife has gone on to be with the Lord? I'm sure, definitely, I know I would be devastated. But you'd have to process it. Were there things that you said at that point that maybe you didn't wish you said? Were there things you would have done or thought you had time to do? How can we, as wives, whose husbands are still here, how can we have a marriage without regret? And, you know, I just thought of that some years ago when I went to a wives retreat with some of the women from my church, and I just had such a profound time when I sat at the table, and I'm just always drawn to older women because there's such wisdom there, and the Word of God tells us that there's wisdom in the multitude of godly counsel. So one of the ladies, even though her husband had just died about a week and a half before that, she saw fit to still come on the wives retreat because that's what she had been all her life. And I had the opportunity to sit there and talk to her and then, you know, just hear about some of the experiences that she had had with her husband. And I was just blessed because at that time I was going through a difficult time in my marriage. And I thought, how ungrateful am I? You know, I have this husband here that cares about me, that loves me. Yes, could things be better? But I'm going to trust and believe God that he's going to change some things. And I'm going to try to put my best foot forward and be the best wife that I could be, truly with a servant's heart. Because really, that's what marriage is all about. I think sometimes we forget that we truly are in the roles of servants on a daily basis, just as wives, in an everyday basis. That's my heart, to be a servant as unto the Lord. So I'm excited about my special guest for this week joining us to share whatever the Lord has placed on our heart that she feels that we as wives need to know in this season of our lives. So I want to welcome our special guest for this week, Ms. Essie Powell. Hello, Essie. How are you?
Hello. How are you?
Good. Thank you. I'm so excited that you're joining us this week. Did you have a good day today?
Well, I'm excited to be here.
Yes. Did you have a good day today?
I'm excited to be here also. I'll just tell you a little bit about myself.
That would be great.
Okay. Well, Felicia told you I'm Essie Powell, and I'm a widow, a mother, and a grandmother. And although I was born and raised in Philadelphia for the last 35 years, I've been living in Maryland. And shortly after I retired in 2002, I started taking several Bible studies. And I'm in my ninth study, and we're doing Revelation with Bible Study Fellowship. And let's see, after my husband passed, I returned to school, and I attended Liberty Theological Seminary and took pastoral counseling. And for 14 years, I was the leader of the Christian Guidance Ministry. But we just this month, we anointed the new person to take over. I was listening to Miles Monroe one time, and he said, great leaders pass the baton off before they die, and so that they can see the next runner run on. And he said, often in the church, people hold on to the baton, and they just have to pry it out of their cold, dead hands. I said, well, I sure don't want that to be me. And so I had been praying about it, and so the Lord led me to a wonderful couple and taking over the ministry, and I'm pleased with that. And I told them I would not just drop them. I'll be available for anything that they want, but I felt new leader, younger leadership was needed. I mentioned Bible Study Fellowship, and that comes into play. What happened with me was the Thursday before my husband passed, I was in our class, and with like 300 women in groups of 15. And I was sitting there, and like during those days, we had volunteers, and they were out volunteering and helping with the children. So three women were sitting alone, and I looked and I said, all three of those women are widows. And I don't know why that just came to me, just sitting there. And so then I just let it go. That Sunday morning, I got up like I normally did, and I always started my day with prayer, and I would slip out of the bed. It was a Sunday morning, and I would go into the next room and do my devotions, and then I would return, and I'd go start. When I came back in the room and went to the shower, my husband normally would get up and go start the coffee. And I had asked him the night before, are you going? He said, I'll let you know. But he had had a slight cold earlier in the week, so I wasn't sure. But when I came back out, he was still laying there. I said, well, I guess he's not going. So I went on and I got dressed. And it was the way he was laying, and it was such a cute pose he had. I took a picture of him. And then after I took the picture, I said, well, I'm leaving. And he didn't answer. So I touched his foot. Well, there, if you touch his feet, he would move. But he didn't. And I walked around the side of the bed, and then I knew he was gone. As I'm walking back, I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, is this what you were showing me on Thursday? And I went on and I made the calls that I had to make. I called 911 and I called my daughter because it was only the two of us here in the house. I called her and she jumped in her car and came over and everything. But what I want to say is that with all of that, I walked around. The Lord is just so awesome. The fact that he had me dressed and ready to receive people when I found out. I didn't know anything at all until I was completely dressed. And I was ready to receive guests if I would have known. But I, of course, I was. I guess everyone wondered why I was dressed as I was, because I was in a bright red dress because I was heading to church. But God has just been so faithful. And later on, he brought those same three women back to me to show me that they were okay and that I would be okay. And I held on to that. And he has just been awesome. And as I said, after he died, I did go back to school. I was just sitting for a bit, and then I said, if so-and-so, they were showing an advertisement on the television. I said, if they have that, I'll go. And they did. And so I did my studies there at Liberty. And God has just been blessing me. When Talisha called me and asked me to do this, it just happened to be the anniversary, the 10th anniversary of my husband's death, and I told her that. And because I had been thinking about him that morning, and I was just sitting there looking. But the fact that I start she said five things that a wife should know, and that is to start your day with the Lord, with give yourself some alone time with God, and tell him your concerns. And as the scripture tells us in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. You can tell him anything that's going on, anything that's concerning you. You can, you know, if time, you know, you might want to tell on your spouse something he does. You know, let him handle it, you know. But this is a good time to be alone and with the Lord. And I find it good for me. You may have a different time, but morning is good for me because I know there's not going to be any telephone calls or anything to distract. And because prayer is the most powerful means a Christian has to use for God to work in the heart and the life of both your marriage and your family. And so starting my day with the Lord and just basically setting a time and making an appointment. I get up at 5:30. Now I kind of, it's between 5:30 and 6. But I know that there's not going to be any phone calls. And a second thing I was thinking that came to me was that pray with your spouse. And this came not too long, maybe several years before my husband died, but it was to pray daily with your spouse. And, you know, hold hands, and we would end our night with praying with prayer. But even if you don't have anything right in the beginning, start with the Lord's Prayer. Just do that together. Just begin. Later on, you can talk about the things that you can pray, you know, things come up as a family you might want to pray together about. Pray with your spouse. That is so important that your spouse becomes your prayer partner. Another thing that I was, Lord bless came up with me to come up with was that we forget quickly. Don't hold things. I found out when you hold on to things, the devil will always feed you more things to hold on. You know, like, remember that time? And also, what about that time? He'll continue to feed you, to keep you, to rob you of your peace. And if you forgive quickly, because then as we forgive, God will forgive us. But if we hold on this, we don't want the Lord to hold those things that we've done wrong against us. So we don't need to hold things against anyone else. And we find in Matthew 6:14 and 15, it tells us that he, you know, if we don't forgive, he won't forgive us. So we need to forgive. We need to be quick to forgive and not hold anything and not keep a record of wrong, you know, because like I said, Satan will always keep reminding you, what about that time? But that's his job, to steal our peace. But see, God wants us to have our peace, so we don't need to hold on to things. And so that was, we need to be ready to forgive. And a fourth thing was to make memorable moments. Before we got married, my husband used to say, used to always talk about memorable moments. And we did a lot of things together. And so make memorable moments as both a family and as a couple. You know, don't make sure that you do things as a couple. Let that person know how important they are to you. Set time, you know, do things together. Do a lot of things together. And even, you know, some of those things will be as a family. Some of those things will be just you and your spouse. But make those memorable moments. And you can capture them in pictures or you can just have them as memories, but they're there. Set a date night. Go out, you know. Have time to be able to do something where it's just you and your spouse. And because you're with your family, I feel it's important for my generation and all each generation to model godly behavior for the next generation in marriage, in relationships, in the way we dress. Because we're seeing some kind of strange things out there today, but anyway. But we need to model, no matter what the world is doing, we need to model what is acceptable. When I was at the pool this morning, I go and walk in the water because it helps my knees. This lady was talking about her husband, and she said that she didn't know. It was something she didn't know. As a couple, we need to share information with your spouse that they would need to know if you were physically unable to give it. So they need to know where to find it or how to get to it. Like I said, my husband just did not wake up. He was not sick or it wasn't a long illness. We had just come back from a 10-day cruise. We had been back less than a month. He was in, you know, but it was just his time to go. But I knew where to find it. He always made sure that I knew where things were. So make sure that you share those things. Sometimes people say, well, I don't want them to know certain things. Well, you need to pray about that. That could be one of your concerns that you take to the Lord in your morning time alone. Did you tell him and help you? Sometimes it's not easy to forgive. That's another concern. You can take that to the Lord when it's you alone and say, you know, it's hard. They did such and such, and it's hard for me to let go. But, Lord, because you want me to forgive, I want to forgive. So you have to help me. And he will. And he will. There has been some times in my life in different situations and circumstances that I've had to pray just that prayer. And the Lord has blessed me to be able to forgive and to move on. One time, someone asked me to go somewhere with them. And then they backed out, but they were able, they didn't do things completely honest, but they were able to get their money back. I didn't get mine back. And that was one of them situations the devil could feed you stuff. But there's a place in Second Chronicles 25:6-9 where the Lord sent the man of God to tell someone that what they needed to do. And the man said, well, I've already paid this man something, you know, all this money to do it. And he said, this is what the Lord wants you. But he told him, he said, the Lord can give you much more than that. And that blessed me, because when I read that, then the fact that I had lost, yes, it was $300, and, you know, and my finances are limited. But when I thought about it, I said, yes, he has given me more than that, and I'll just trust him, you know. And so I was able to let go. But we have to be able to let things go. And, you know, some of the things that we hold on to and we're angry about, you know, remember what he said in Romans, you know, any revenge or anything, you know, let those things be, let the Lord take care of them. In the 12th chapter of Romans, he tells us to not to take revenge on friends, but leave room for God's wrath. And for it is written, it is mine to avenge, and I will repay, says the Lord. So don't hold things against your spouse or anyone else. Just, you know, let it be. Some of the things you could pray with your husband might be for your children. You might pray that they would enjoy the Bible and come to love it and to study his word. And there is to be ready to forgive people, to understand God's will for their lives early. Pray about the spouse that your children, for your children. Maybe they're not ready to get married, but one day they will be. And so if you start praying now that the Lord will bless them with the right kind of spouse, with a godly spouse, you know, so that the next generation can go be raised in the admonition of the Lord. So pray for those things. Tell the Lord your concerns. He wants to hear. He wants that relationship. And if you meet him daily, spend time with him, you will develop that relationship. And you will have those special times together. A lot of times, and then we have widows are, we have, you know, like I said, he helped me through that period of becoming a widow. And because in the beginning, I tell you how I felt. You know, they say when you get married, you become one. Well, you do. Because when my husband passed, it was like all of a sudden I was with one arm and one leg. I was not whole. And it was when I went up to my bedroom that night after everything had been removed and someone else had made my bed and everything, that bed looked like it was a mile long. It was just so big when I looked, because I knew it was going to be empty. And there had been times, because at one time before he retired, I'd go to bed by myself because he was working. He'd have to work at night or something. But that night, it was altogether different. But God can, he's able, like I said, he showed me that those women were okay and I was okay. There's a couple that were very dear to me during that time. They went with me to some of the things I had to do, taking care of the business after my husband died, and he kept wanting to pay for stuff, and I said, I'm okay. I said, you don't have to adopt me. I said, the Lord showed me that I was going to be okay. And he said, well, I guess wants you to know, as he pointed to him and his wife, we are part of the okay. So, you know, the Lord has people out there that'll be there for you and walk with you, if, you know, as you go through things. And as he promised never to leave nor forsake us, hold on to that. And no matter what, just do that. Hold on to that. I think I said pretty much. Is there anything else that you would like to hear about?
Yes. Yes. That was. They were all good points.
I wanted to double back on one of your main points that you had about praying with your spouse daily. What about those wives whose husbands don't know the Lord? What would you suggest for them about their demeanor and how to act, as they're, praying and interceding for their husbands? Would you suggest they do anything in particular?
Well, that could be one of their morning concerns.
But
then later on, they could talk to him and say, and ask him. And because the Lord is able to change hearts and minds. And trust God, but ask him, would you mind, just the Lord's Prayer. Like I said, you can start with the Lord's Prayer, something real simple. And just tell him, just for our family, Even, just ask the Lord to bless our family. Something just real simple. It doesn't have to be a long, drawn-out prayer, but ask him. If they're not really ready at this point, just say, okay, well, whenever you're ready, I'll be ready to join. Don't get angry. Just say, okay, and just trust the Lord. And, we can tell God about things. We can tell on him. Say, Lord, he don't want to do it. But I'm trusting you to bring us to that point where we can pray together and put your trust in the Lord and continue on. And maybe one day, you said that, I can go back to my mom and my mother, my father. My mother got saved before my dad, and they had been married in Maryland, but they moved to Philadelphia before the last three of us were born. And my mother joined this church, and she would go to it. But she wanted to go one night, and he said, well, he wasn't taking care of the kids. So my mother believed in fasting and praying and all of those things, and she just kept on doing what she was supposed to be doing as a wife. She did, she didn't hold back on anything, but she just trusted God. And later on that very same night, he came to her. He said, you're going to be late for your prayer meeting. And so then she went on. And mother always believed that you need to just trust the Lord. And this is what we were raised. That's why I say model godly behavior in how you do with your relationships, with your marriage, with your dress, with everything. We're always supposed to be a Christian. We don't put our religion on the shelf. There's no such thing as that. You hear people say that. I said, maybe you didn't have it in the first place if you can take it off and put it on like that. But eventually, by the time the last three of us were born, my father was saved. Mother just trusted God. It didn't happen overnight, but he came to know the Lord. And he was one of the trustees in the church when he died. But all my life of knowing him, he was a praying Christian man. He was in church on Sunday morning. He was in church on Sunday night. He was in church on Tuesday night. Prayer meeting, but that's why I say, even if they're not just you do, as I used to tell my children when I was raising them, I said, don't let the wrong be on you. You do what you know is right and pray for that man. Don't get mad at him. And if it's something you know he's going to say no about, don't ask. Certain things But for the prayer part, that I would say, go and ask him, say, how do you feel about us praying together as a family? And just you and I, it don't have to be anything. Say, I can, even if it's just the Lord's Prayer or something, you can, and then there's books out here that sell prayers. You can find something short, let's do this, and, it'll help our family. The world we're living in, we need to be covered. And that's what I would say to those whose spouse is not, say, don't give up, because the scripture tells us, that we can win them by our behavior as long as we keep on being who the Lord calls us to be. Anything else?
Yeah. I had some questions about the forgive quickly. You said don't hold on to things because the devil will continue to feed you those lies to make it bigger than what it is. What about mm-hmm. those things? And I agree with that. What about those things that are really difficult to get over the hurdle? And I know we're going to pray. We're going to ask the Lord. I know there was at one point in my marriage where things were really difficult, and I asked the Lord to show me how to love myself, and that He would open my eyes so that I could love Him the way that He loved them. I know I can't mm-hmm. even begin to love Him the way that He loved them, but I can try according to His word. You know, according to His word, I could try and be patient. I could try and be kind. I could try and be long suffering as the Lord grows Him up in the Lord. There may be some things that you know, He's still learning about Jesus. There may be some patterns of behavior that the Lord may still be working on with Him. So in that time, I'm going to be long suffering. You know, give Him a chance to grow up and give the Lord a chance to work on Him. What about those things that are really difficult, Effie, like infidelity? We see that running rampant in the news. We see it amongst Hollywood stars. We see it amongst our governmental officials, you know, them stepping outside of their marriages, outside of those marriage vows. That's one of those things that could be really difficult. And I, from, you know, the greatest woman that's walked with the Lord in the morning would still have some difficulty in forgiving her husband. What does that process look like? What would you suggest to that wife that really has prayed? The Lord has told her, you know what, say, we can work. I'm going to work you through it. I'm going to bring you through this. What would you suggest to do to try and mend the fences, to try and bring back that oneness into that marriage?
It wasn't exactly that, but it's been things that people have hurt me with, and I just had to cry. I would be crying. I'd be upset about this thing. But because I didn't want him to hold anything against me, but I said, well, this is hard. I can't do this by myself. I cannot do this in myself. You have to do this. But we just have to be willing. Our heart has to be willing to do it. And it's our attitude has to be willing to accept, okay, that God, and trust God to work it out and let Him know daily, Lord, I'm still trusting you because continue to find it in the scriptures, search those scriptures and find those things and let Him, you know, and use those things because we can pray His word back to Him.
Absolutely.
And, you know, but we don't want Him to hold anything against us. And that commitment that we're living up to it. And even if they're not living up to it, we don't want the wrong to be on us. So we all have to give an account of what we've done. So we don't want to have to give an account of that. But let's see. It says that if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins. And because I don't want Him to hold anything against me, and like I said, there's times when people have hurt me, but you have to still trust God's word and trust Him. Because when it's all said and done, eternity is a long time. And you want to be with Him.
Amen.
You know, as I said, we're studying Revelation. Well, you know, if there's ever any doubt, you know you don't want to be on the other side. When people want to die and can't die, you wonder what rocks and all those. But anyway, that's Revelation. But you know you want to be doing things that's right. So, you know, I found something else that was helpful for me, and that was it was a phrase that I think it was in a Beth Moore seminar heard, but guard my mind. That has been a blessing to me. Because sometimes you're sitting, and like I said, the devil brings things to you. He'll try. We were on a retreat. It was a group of us, and as the people used to say, my posse, we went on a retreat, and we were on this retreat, and the devil just popped up there. And when the person got this, and I saw this person get up to do something, it was, and the thoughts that came into my mind were not from the Lord. And I had to say, guard my mind. And it was just like those little bubbles we used to blow when we were kids. You just pop them and you stick your finger and they pop. But when I said that, that's what happened to those thoughts. I said, guard my mind. I asked the Lord to guard my mind, and they were gone. So sometimes, you know, when those negative things come, you know that they are not from the Lord. Just ask the Lord to guard your mind. And like when that person is not so nice, is not doing things right, ask the Lord to guard your mind. And as he tells us, you know, because this, like I said, the devil will feed you. Things will be hard and difficult, but hey, my trust is in you, Lord God. And I'm looking for you to work this out, because you said you'd fight our battles for us, and I'm looking for you to fight for me through this, to fight for my marriage, to fight for my relationship with you. I'm trusting you.
Amen. It reminds me of that scripture when you say guard my mind in 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of Christ. And especially in that situation where you're going through forgiveness, like you said, the devil will continue to feed it, continue to feed you things, continue to make things bigger than what they are. And that's when, like you say, guard your mind, cast down that thought, and replace it with the word of God. Father, help me to think on those things that are good, those things that are lovely, those things that are pure, that are of good report. Help me to dwell on those things. That's when you really have to do it, like you said.
Yes, you do.
He
serve an awesome God, and he's able to do that. And like I said, my mom is, her testimony, you know, she were here, if she were still alive, but that was her and my dad. And all my life, I knew him to be a Christian. But there was a time when he wasn't. But she prayed and she trusted the Lord, and God worked it out.
Amen. As I know he will, and I know he has. I know that's the testimony for, you know, so many women that are out there, you know. It's my hope that those women start rising up and sharing with some of us, some of that younger generation, so that we know we can press on. And like you said, when you saw those three widows, that was God really showing you, hey, you're going to be all right. You're going to make it. And sometimes we need to hear that. Sometimes we need to see that. That's why I asked you on the show today, you know. I really believe it is, like the Word of God tells us, that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the power of our testimony. People need to hear it that they can make it.
You know, when I was growing up in the church, I couldn't read. It was, before I could read, there was this big sign, I don't know, and it had these three words on it, but I couldn't read those words. Eventually, I got to read. The first word was it, and it was it can be done. And I hadn't thought of those words for a long time, but recently it was things I've been doing, and those things that came back to me, that sign, it can be done. So like some of these things that you get involved in, it seems impossible. But just but we have to just realize who we're serving. You know, we limit God a lot of time, or else we get in the way of him too at times, because we figure we have We can handle it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we know better how it needs to go. And, but it can be done. We, you know, and I sat there learning until I learned how to read those words, and I remember as a kid. But God is just awesome, and we forget that who he is sometimes, how powerful he is, and that he's able to do above and beyond all we could ever think or hope or imagine. If you look at the fact that he creates this world, and we look at how a body is made and all of these things. And like I said, it's important to pray for our children. That's something you can, you know, even if you get that husband said, well, let's, you know, just get him, let's say a prayer for our son, our daughter, our children. Because we want them to grow up and reach their full potential in the Lord.
I agree. Well, how about we take a break, Aunt Essie, and play some music to encourage those that may be listening in. And when we come back, I wanted to ask you about the making memorable moments. Okay, can we talk a little bit more about that?
Okay.
All right. All right, so how about we go ahead and listen to some music to encourage those that may be listening in. What I'm about to say is by Marette Brown Clark, My Heart Has Been Restored. Enjoy.
Okay.
About the way I felt yesterday, my emotions, they got in the way. How quickly I forgot to trust you, Lord. Change my unbelief. Heart has been restored once again. I believe in you, Lord. I'm sorry for not trusting you. And now I'm no longer trusting you with my whole heart, but faith grabs a hold of me.
Transparency in Christ, where we talk about marriage and how to do things according to the Word of God. My name is Talisha Miller, and thanks for joining us again this evening as we talk about lessons from a widow, five things every wife should know. So far, just to recap, I want to again welcome my special guest, Ms. Essie Powell. Top of the evening to you. Welcome back.
Hello.
Yes, welcome back.
Yep. Well, you were saying you wanted to hear more about memorable moments.
Yes, ma'am, memorable moments. Let's say we're a brand new family. We're just starting out, and we don't have lots of money. What are ways that we can create memorable moments as a couple and also as a family?
Well, there are things you can do that don't cost money, or maybe it's projects that you work on. Maybe it's my mother used to love to put together puzzles. My sister did puzzles. I'm not a puzzle person, but, you know, get the big puzzles. And those would be things that you could spend time together, and how important that is, that together time. And maybe do take walks or without a lot of money, you know, you can, you know, there's games a lot. You can have a game night. You can have those special moments without them costing money. But if you, or maybe you can maybe just take weekends. I remember when my kids were small, we didn't take week vacation to the beach. We did weekends. we did two nights down at Atlantic City or somewhere. Wasn't a long, you know, so we would have enough for that. But for the memorable moments as a couple, you know, the fact that you can, if the kids are small, get someone to watch the kids or maybe take them to grandma for the weekend or maybe, you know, because a lot of grandparents would love to have the grandchildren for a short period of time. And maybe that's something you could do special. Maybe you could take a short drive. Growing up in Philadelphia, when my kids were small, we didn't have a car. And my mother said, you need to take your children out. So a lot of times it was a bus ride from one end to the other. Or going out to the airport and watching things, you know, watching planes go off or taking off or something. And if you find it, you know, what are some of the things you did before you got married? What are some of those things that you kind of left behind? Maybe some of those things you could pick back up that you two enjoy doing together as a couple. And you know, if you have small kids, you can maybe incorporate them into it, you know, in your visits, your travel, going out, playing games together. All those things are things that you can create those special times together. And those times later on, your children will remember them. And those that you end up without a spouse, those that do not have a spouse right now, if they think back, they can think of some special times with that things that they did. And those are special to them. It was something they did together. And so it's a lot of things, you know, whatever your hobbies, what are your hobbies? Or you can, you know, develop those things. Like I said, it may be a house, doing something in the house, a project, or maybe doing something too. There's a family that I've heard of families going and feeding the homeless. That was something that, you know, through their church, getting involved, find out something in their church. Maybe there's something somewhere there that they can do together as a family. Felicia, you and your family go down with the parade. And I know that's special for you all.
Yes.
So, but there are things that you can do. That would be fun for the kids, you know, swimming, skiing, riding. I remember going out, my kids were teenagers, going to riding a horse, and I had been on a horse, and I don't know when. But anyway, but that was, we all had to come back and take baths because we would smell like the horse, but anyway, but it was fun. We were laughing and trying to get the horse to do, and we weren't skilled riders, so. But it was a good thing. So things that you can have fun together with as a family. Movies, of course, but the theater. But think of things that you can do as a couple, things that you can do as a family that would make, those things would be special. You know, you go to work, you come home, you take care of the kids, but then plan some activity. It can make you, you know, bring laughter, bring some joy there.
Mm-hmm. I remember.
Like I said, everything doesn't have to cost money.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I remember going to one of the retreats, and my pastor sharing, if you didn't have lots of money, maybe at night, remember you said memorable moments. After you put the kids down, me and my husband we would have a cup of tea. It was tea time. And that was one of the things that our pastor had suggested. Sit down, have a cup of tea. Maybe you buy a pack of Oreo cookies if that's your husband's favorite cookie or your wife's favorite cookie.
Mm-hmm.
And you sit there and have a cup of tea. That's cheap, but it's still a memorable moment. That was something that me and my husband did together because he worked late. So after I put the kids to bed, we had tea. And then,
something,
like you said, movie night. We had movie night every Friday night. So that was something my husband knew, okay, I can't work as late on Friday night because I have to be here with my wife and my family. We would have whatever the kids wanted. That was the thing. I had to cook whatever they wanted. So whether it was a baked potato, whether it was us making tacos or if we had pizza, that's what we did. More hot dogs. We had that, and then we watched a movie together. And, you know, those things are all cheap.
So it doesn't have to be anything expensive, but you can create, you know, it's everybody has different likes, so you find it, what is it that my family likes to do, and then work on that and develop something. You just take time to think about those things. We can.
I remember it was one of the rules that we learned at a conference we had went to. Well, actually, it's online. It was called the 777 rule. So every 7 days, you should at least have a date night, which you mentioned.
Uh-huh.
You should at least have a date night once a week. And then it was every 7 weeks, go on a weekend with no kids. Go on a weekend,
mm-hmm.
or if you can get rid of the kids, just you and your spouse alone. And then it was every 7 months, have a week vacation with no kids, with just your spouse. Me and Chris have been trying to implement it. So we've been sticking to it. We have our date night. We've been messing up a little bit on the every 7 weeks with the weekend, the traveling, but we're going to try and get back to the weekend in April. So got to start back up with that. But every 7 months, when I was traveling, Chris came with me and stayed for a week in India. So
that was
really nice. Yeah, that was a great experience for the post office. So try and stick to it. If you can, something to implement, at least you have to have that alone time, like you said, if you have to have it as a couple.
Yes, you do.
And I know you can relate because Delphine's been gone for a very long time, but I'm coming up on 2 years. It'll be empty nest. So, I want to know my husband. And I want my husband to know me so we're not strangers when the kids are out of the house.
You know, that happens, and you'd be surprised because after the kids go, they realize they haven't talked. They haven't done anything together. They're like two strangers in the house. It was a kid that kept them together, and it shouldn't be. That should not be. There was another thing I didn't know where to put it, but that I was thinking about. I hear people talk about going through their husband's pants and checking the pockets. And now the modern day thing is going checking their phones and to see who they're calling, who they're texting. And it was a poem years ago that it was basically you don't go looking for trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And someone said, well, I just want to know. But there again, you're supposed to trust the Lord, and remember, God already knows what's happening. And if you're seeking the Lord daily in your prayers, perhaps He's working on your spouse already to get them back on track. But your entrance into the situation could escalate and burn the bridge that the Lord's been building, trying to make it get things right. So,
amen.
I didn't check pockets. When I went in my husband's pocket, it was because he sent me in them, He didn't have a phone. I had a phone, but he didn't have a cell phone. But I hear people talk about checking things. I said, why are you checking them? You may find find something you don't want to see, you know. But anyway, I just threw that in. I don't look for, you know, don't look for trouble. Because why are you looking? Why are you, what is it that you want to see? Why do you want to know? Why, you know, ask yourself that question. What, you know, what if I see something I don't, then what? But anyway, anything else?
Did I have anything else for you tonight? Well, is there anything else that you wanted to share?
It's so important to pray for praying for your children. And that's something you can do as a couple, or you can do it by yourself until your husband's ready to join you. I came across this thing, and it has 12 things, and where they say you pray for something, you take one for each month, and that is praying for your children. And, you know, even for the spouse that they married, so what if they're only 10 years old, but they're going to get older. But you
Amen.
Pray for those children. And I had come across questions, like if you have a teenager and they're out going out with people, you know, you need to pray about your children, but there's some questions you need to give to your children. And one of the questions is, with the people that, you know, they're looking at this person, and they need to be able to answer, am I willing to spend my life with this person if he or she never changes one bit?
Wow.
There are four questions. The second question is, would I want to become more like this person as he or she is now? The third one, would I want this person just as he or she is now, father or mother of my children? And would I want my children to be just like this person as he or she is right now? And, they say, oh, we're just playing around, but then things get serious, then what happens? But you need to think, the teenagers need to think about it. You know, by the time they get to the engagement and the party and putting on the wedding dress, it's too late to think about those things. To marry people thinking that they're going to change. No, you have to think of, that's not our job to change people.
Absolutely.
But back to praying for our children. They said, it says, one of them is to enjoy the Bible now and when old enough to make and keep a commitment to study the Bible every day of their life. To understand the Lord Jesus Christ and fall in love with him and receive him as Savior and be passionately devoted to Jesus all their lives. Another month could be boldly speak about Jesus and become a leader and a standard bearer for the cause of Christ rather than the causes of the world. And then there are scriptures that go with each of these. Never to be without godly friends and role models, but make discerning choices about friends and lifestyle, caring as much about inner beauty as outward appearance and achievement. Five is to understand he is created by God, content and confident with the way he or she is made physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Six, be protected from immoral and impure people and activities, maintaining virtue and having a zeal for righteous living. Pray to that your child recognize and abhor and flee from sin and reject temptations to do evil. Eight, to love, to give and serve, be glad and grateful and generous givers to the world, not a taker. Nine, at an early age, learn and love to pray, develop an intimacy with God, and become a true worshiper of him. And I might want to add in there to know God's will for their lives early. 10, to treat people with godly kindness in a meek and gentle spirit without losing the ability to make a stand for what is right, and readily seek forgiveness after sinning and quick to forgive others, and to grow spiritually in proportion with their physical and mental growth. And those are 12 things that, you know, you can could just continue just praying these things over and over for your children, that, you know, that they would, you know, but maybe if you don't remember all of them, but pray for their, you know, pick out some of them and pray for them. But like I said, pray for a godly spouse.
Yeah.
If you're praying for the salvation of your child, but you also pray that they, you know, that they meet the right person. And so you start praying early. Because sometimes, you know, all these counterfeits can get in the way, or spoilers that will, the other person may not seem desirable, you know, because you got the spoiler up there. So pray about those things before, so that we're not reacting. We need to go, you know, act first, and so that we're not having to react to things. And but like I said, one of as part of Christian guidance, I see the student ministry class. And, like, the people that you always ask me about things, and I said, well, no matter how much you have prepared for something, you need to always pray before you go, because you never know what, you know. And so, and no matter what you're doing in life, you need to pray about it. And so that's for everything. That prayer becomes not less thing that I do, but the first thing that I do in situations. Did you say, you know, people say, well, I did everything I else, and I guess I ain't nothing left to do but pray. No, maybe if we need to put that first. Start with that. And see where the Lord leads you.
Amen.
But that's, you know, that's why I said we need that quiet time with the Lord. There's a scripture in Isaiah 50, and it tells us about, let's see, him waking us early in the morning, and he's teaching us things, and we need to be available to hear what the Lord has for us. And so, because he'll speak to us, but sometimes we can get too busy and too crowded and not to hear what he has to say, but he will, it says, the sovereign Lord has given me an instructive tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He awakens me morning by morning, waken my ears to listen like one being instructed. The sovereign Lord has opened my eyes, but anyway, my ears. But anyway, just so that the fact that he will show you things. He'll instruct you. We just have to listen. We have to spend that time with him, so that we know when he's leading us into something.
Well, did you want to play out with me for some of those wives that may be listening in?
Okay. Hallelujah, praise you, Jesus. Glory to God.
Thank you, Lord.
Almighty Father, we just thank and praise you for this time that we've been able to sit and to talk and just to share, Father God, things, and hopefully someone will be blessed by them, someone will be encouraged. Lord, to know that you're always available, that we can come to you in the wee hours of the morning or late at night, whatever is fits our schedule, but Lord, we can come to you anytime, and you're always available. And Lord, as you promised never to leave nor forsake us, Father God. And Lord, we know that we can always look to the hills, because we know that's from whence cometh our help. It cometh from the Lord. And so, Lord, we pray for those people, those spouses, those couples, those families, Father God. Lord, that they will live the abundant life that you have for them. We pray, Father God, that the women will be the women you would have them to be in you. We pray, Father God, that the men will be the men that you would have them to be. Lord, we want them to have that abundant life that you speak of in your word. So we pray, Father God, that we will be able to turn things loose into your hands, realizing that you will fight our battles, that all we have to do is trust you. Lord, help us all, Father God, to trust you more, to know who you are, to seek that deeper relationship with you. Give us a hunger and a thirst for your righteousness, Lord God, that we will want to start our day with you, Father God, that we would want to end it with you, Lord God, that we would just be so in love with you, Father God, that we would be in tune to you, Father God. We pray for the families, and we pray for the generation that follows, Father God, that they too will have a hunger and a thirst for your righteousness. For that young lady or young man that needs encouraging, Father, you, Father God, they may be alone. And, Lord, we just ask you to meet the needs of their lives, Father God. Lord, nothing is hidden from your sight, Father God. And we're just asking you to be there for them, to let them feel you, Father God. Let them feel your comfort, for you are the God of all comfort. That you will have, maybe there's someone that will telephone them, call them to just encourage their heart. You will send people across their path to help them, Father God, to show them your way, Father God. We pray for those people, Father God, because they're all your children. We are all your children, dear Lord. And we need you. We cannot make it without you, Lord God. And we thank you, Father God, that you have given us this avenue that we can come directly to the throne of grace. We don't have to kill bulls or slay cattle or anything, but we can come directly to the throne of grace. No matter what it is, we can tell on the folks what they've done to us and ask you to fix it. We can tell you all about it because, Lord, you know all about our troubles anyway, Father God. So we just want to voice them, and we just trust you to work it out. You will work in each of us, Father God, that we will look at situations, circumstances, and people the way you would have us to see them. In the name of Jesus, we just lift this all up to you as we trust you, Father God, even more, believing, Father God, that you're working even now with someone somewhere, Father God, letting them know that it's okay, that they are, that you showed me I was okay, and that let them know that they're going to be okay as well. Give them that peace, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that, Lord, that only comes through you. I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, I appreciate you coming on tonight. What wisdom you had for us, those lessons with starting your day with the Lord and having a lonely time and praying daily with your spouse. And I absolutely love the one, and it holds true for my life. Forgive quickly. Don't hold on to things. And make memorable moments as a family and as a couple, and share information with your spouse so that they can get to what they may need if they're physically unable to communicate those things. And pray. That's the common theme among all those things, pray. And ask the Lord.
Yeah.
It's so important to trust him and love the scripture, the Isaiah 50 that you gave, that we may wake up and start our day with the Lord so that we can get instruction, so he will open our eyes and our ears to those opportunities that he possibly placed before us, and things to avoid as well. I'm sure the Lord shows us if we meet him early in the morning. Well, I thank you so much for coming on today. I truly enjoyed you. And I want to let those listeners know that just in case you missed the first part portion of the show will be available via blogtalkradio.com. You can search for Transparency in Christ and search for the title Lessons from a Widow, Five Things That Every Wife Needs to Know. Also, reach out to us on Facebook. Let us know if this radio show has been a blessing to you. And you can reach out to us on Facebook, look up Transparency in Christ, or if you want to listen to past shows, again, you can listen to that via blogtalkradio.com and search for Transparency in Christ. If there's anything that Transparency in Christ can do for you or anything you'd like to hear about, reach out to us via email at transparencyinchrist@gmail.com. And again, that email is transparencyinchrist@gmail.com. Just to let you know, we won't be broadcasting next week, but we will be broadcasting on April 15th at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. My special guest for that time will be Prophetess Sadira Davis, and we'll be talking about seasons of waiting, what ways to connect with your spouse who travels for work, and also pitfalls for those spouses that may be left behind, those pitfalls to avoid. Okay, so check us out next week, April 15th at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for our show on seasons of waiting, ways to connect with your spouse who travels for work, and pitfalls to avoid as well. Well, my name is Talisha Miller. Again, thank you so much for joining us. I hope you'll join us on April 15th. And I want to say thank you again to our special guest, Effie Powell, for sharing her wisdom and her time with us. Thank you again, Effie.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
All right.
For me as well.
I'm glad. I'm so glad. Well, I want to leave our listeners with some, again, some inspiration just to listen to. Hopefully, that'll be a blessing to you. How about I go ahead and play I Just Want You by Myra Williams. Thanks so much for joining us, and join us again next week, join us again in 2 weeks, April 15th at 6:30 p.m. God bless you.
I just want you. I just want to live in your presence. Every day I lay down my will, and every selfish desire, and whatever it takes, Father, that's what I'll do. 'Cause we just want you. Say it with me, real life. I just want you.
I just want you.
How many of you want to live in His presence?
I just want
to live in Your presence every day. Yeah, yeah. I lay my will, and every selfish desire, whatever it takes. Hallelujah. Father, that's what I'll do. 'Cause I just want you. If you just want to lift those hands without making a lot of noise, just speak to the Lord in a subtle voice today and tell Him, say, Lord, I just want you. I don't know what we would do without you. 'Cause we depend on you so much that we can't make it without you. I just want. I just want to live in your presence every day. I lay down my will, and every selfish desire, oh, whatever. What I'll do, 'cause I just want
Thanks again for joining us on Transparency of Christ. Join us April 15th. God bless you.